For April 27th, if everyone would stand for the pledge.
The flag, the United States of America, the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and the future as well. Amen.
We have roll call.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
President Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Rose.
Here.
Ms. Moore.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Councilman Sebring is ill.
Mayor Yoakum.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
I move we adopt the agenda.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to adopt the agenda as presented.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And that agenda is adopted by a vote of 6-0. Next is approval of the minutes from the April 13th meeting.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Brown to approve the minutes as presented from the April 13th meeting.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And those minutes are approved by a vote of 6-0. Next, petition memorials remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, I have distributed to council members a couple handouts from a workshop that Councilmember Rose and I attended April 16th on economic development. The first handout is one from Ball State about 20th and 21st century economic development policy, and I think it is a good one to read. I think it would benefit all the members to become acquainted with this. I just quote on page 8, it talks about we are selling a product and the community is the product, and therefore we must constantly be in product development and continuous improvement mode. And this entire workshop was really about how to make your community more competitive with other communities in terms of attracting people and jobs. So I think that was beneficial, and one of the things they talked about was how important it is for communities to develop human capital to make their workforce as competitive as it could be. And President Helton of Vincennes University spoke, and this was a handout, his presentation about what the university is doing, not just in Vincennes, but in communities around the state to make those communities competitive as well. So if you have any questions about that, we'd be glad to answer those later.
Anything else? Not, we want to committee chair reports. Being none, we'll go to report of city officers.
Chief Dusty Luking, Vincennes Police Department. I wanted to take an opportunity tonight to invite the canine officers to come in and see all of you and introduce our canines, as well as they are recently finished with their canine academy. These guys, and if you guys want to come on up, Officer Michael Caswell and Officer Cody Wagner, they were chosen through the selection to handle our new canines. And it was a pretty rigorous process, included interviews and applications, as well as reports that were taken in from officers of different links of service with the department, and they were chosen for this very important task on the police department. What they have done over the last several weeks has been very early mornings, sometimes late nights, and over the last 5 weeks they've been able to gain certification through the American Police Canine Association for not only narcotics detection, but for patrol dog. So it's always kind of a, I guess I would say, rite of passage or that we do whenever we graduate from the police academy. We do our oath of honor, and I would like to read to Michael and Cody a canine oath of honor here and present both Sarah and Gary with their badges. So I would ask you guys, on your honor, do you solemnly swear that you will never betray your badge, your integrity, your character, or the public trust? Will you always have the courage to hold yourself, your canine partner, and others accountable for their actions? And will you always uphold the Constitution, your community, and the agency you serve as canine handler? All right, with that, I would like to present to Sarah. We're very happy to have them out on the road. I'll also tell you that they've had some action already. They've been out on us with an armed robbery service for some warrants, and they've had an opportunity to chase down a couple people that ended up in a controlled substance arrest. So we look forward to them being out and on the go. Mayor, if you don't mind, I think that the American Police Canine Association would like to have a picture of the handlers with Mayor Webb.
Hey, all right. Go there, or do they come up?
Thank you, guys.
Huh? Oh, you go up here? Let's see.
Brian, your shirt looks just like a bike for you. So
you're my attorney.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the warning.
So should we stand? So we, or where are we doing? In front of me? Up there? All right.
Brian, I need you to hold it.
Let's make Frank go first.
Every time. Scott, you can bring your dogs next week. My dog.
Thank you, guys.
My daughter.
Dogs came from? Yeah, it was way over.
Okay. Any other report of city officers? Being none, we'll move on to old business. Ordinance 5-2-2015 through Ordinance 11-2015.
Mr. Mayor, those remain tabled pending the public hearing on May 18th.
Okay, that remains tabled. Next is Ordinance 16-2015, additional appropriation from Edit Fund for $49,645.37. Your first reading was April 13th.
Move that we have a second reading of Ordinance 16-2015.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have second reading of Ordinance 16-2015.
Ordinance 16-2015, additional appropriation ordinance, formal press, $1,645, all from Edit.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we had a public hearing at 5:45, and let the record show that no one spoke for or against this ordinance.
Any discussion?
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Second reading of Ordinance 16-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0.
I move we have a third reading of Ordinance 16-2015.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have third and final reading of Ordinance 16-2015.
Ordinance 16-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3 from Edit.
Okay, discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salter?
Yes.
Okay, third and final reading of Ordinance 16-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0. Next is Ordinance 14-2015, amending Chapter 75 Vincent's Code of Ordinance Parking Schedule. Your first reading was April 13th.
Move we have a second reading of Ordinance 14-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have second reading of Ordinance 14-2015.
Ordinance 14-2015, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, amending Chapter 75 of the Vincennes Code of Ordinance Parking Sections 1, 2, 3,
and 4. Discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Okay, second reading of Ordinance 14-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0.
We have a third reading of Ordinance 14-2015.
Second.
There. Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Clark, to have third and final reading of Ordinance 14-2015.
Ordinance 14-2015, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, amending Chapter 75 of the Vincennes Code of Ordinance Parking Schedule 1-4, hospital owns the contiguous property except residential.
Discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Okay, third and final reading of Ordinance 14-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0. Next is Ordinance 15-2015, amending Chapter 74 of the Vincennes Code of Ordinance Traffic Schedules. Your first reading was April 13th.
Move we have a second reading of Ordinance 15-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have second reading of Ordinance 15-2015.
Ordinance 15-2015, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, Chapter 74 of the Vincennes Code of Ordinance Traffic Schedules, Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Second reading of Ordinance 15-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0.
I move we have a third reading of Ordinance 15-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Clark, to have third and final reading of Ordinance 15-2015.
Ordinance 15-2015, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, amending Chapter 74 of the Vincennes Code of Ordinance, Traffic Schedule, Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Discussion.
Call for question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rowe?
Yes.
Mr. Salter?
Yes.
And third and final reading of Ordinance 15-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0. Next on your agenda is David Culp, Clerk Treasurer, Central Claims Deputy Position.
Mr. Mayor, President Chatton, Vice President Brown, I would like to thank the council for, at your last meeting, you passed that we could go ahead with an essential position in my office, and that has moved us up 2 weeks further on the schedule. So I appreciate that. Also, at the last meeting, you requested some type of job description, things of that nature, even some of you, a couple of you, have even emailed me about it. So that's what I have in your package this evening. What I'd first like to show is those of you who haven't yet been in the leadership of the council doesn't really know what a accounts payable voucher looks like, and it looks like this. Every department head knows one because that's how they pay for everything that runs across their desk. So what they do is they submit this, they fill it out, put what appropriation number it comes out of, how much it is, and from who the vendor is, and then they also have attached to that usually a receipt and or an invoice. So what happens is this is how we know there's something to pay. So this then will go to the claims person. The claims deputy will then check the math, make sure things look right. They'll check out to see that it's something that we can pay for, and it comes out of the right account number. Usually that's with some consultation with the department head to make sure that, you know, what we're seeing is what happens there. So then that is all done, and then the checks are written to pay the vendors. And that's what you approve each night at the meeting are the claims, and we always have to have the claims here, and the State Board of Accounts says if you all ever want to see them, why, we have them here each meeting. But you approve the claims docket, and then the next day we go ahead and write the checks on everything that you approve. Now, what you have there in front of you is a sheet that looks like this, and on that it says it was requested by you, and again, very humbly, I'm here before you to go over this, and it says that it's the clerk treasurer's claim deputy who does the timely processing and paying of our city departments, offices, individual claims, grants, transfers, and banks. It is essential and paramount to the operation of the services that we provide daily to the citizens of Vincennes. So what I've done there, as you can see, it says this is an example for 2014. So what I've done is listed all of the departments and the claims that this claims deputy would write checks for. And those are all there in front of you. And they're self-explanatory, I would guess. I mean, these are the budgets that you approve, and these are the amounts that we turn around and write checks and pay the claims for them. Now, under the Utility Service Board, what we do there also is we enter, after they've gone through Mr. Bushy's office, they're brought over, and we have a system in our software where those have to be entered also. So we enter those claims into our software also. So that's what the person does. And then the grant section, every time we hear and congratulate the mayor on getting another grant or anything like that to help the Utility Service Board and their levy or the River Road or even rehab for housing, or like Mr. Cooper's working on now for the blight elimination program. Well, those all have vendors and they have to be paid. So when you see that a grant was awarded for X amount, just remember that it's the claims deputy and myself that write up some of those claims, or actually even, actually write the checks for them. On the rehab, what I was referring to, on the rehab grant that the mayor had was like $332,000. Well, there were 33 checks that had to be written on there, and it was, at least 33 that we ended up writing to different vendors. And those claims, I personally made up those claims. The mayor signed them, but I filled out the longhand information on it and then presented them to his office to pay. He signed them, sent them back. We wrote the check, paid paid the vendors. Matter of fact, some of the vendors would even call, is our check done yet? Can we pick it up? And instead of sending it out, we actually said, yeah, they could come in and pick it up. So basically, you've got roughly there $29 million that the claim deputy has put forth on behalf of the city that has been signed by department heads or the mayor for us to do. The other thing that this claims deputy would do, we have to track our assets. The State Board of Accounts wants us to put down anything that we have as far as an asset, capital asset, that is. And what those are defined by, graciously, the mayor and the Board of Works recently changed our capital assets from $300 many, many years ago to $5,000 now. And what that means is anything that is a capital asset that is $5,000 or more, we have to enter that in the computer, so when the State Board of Accounts come here, we can print out a long report and show that we have this much in buildings, this much even in vehicles. When Chief Luking buys vehicles, we list those, and they're listed as an asset. One thing different in assets in the city versus normal general business in the public, if you buy a police cruiser for, let's say, fully fixed for $35,000, it will be that on the books till we actually get rid of it. Whereas in the public, it depreciates. But as far as the city, no, we don't depreciate anything until we sell it. So what you have to do is every time you get a capital asset, like a vehicle, a fire truck, a building, Mr. Bushy was here for the Board of Works, and they're wanting to do, the Cub League is wanting to do some swapping of one parcel of land that the city owns versus another one that the Cub League owns. Well, that would be the type of asset that we would go in on the program for assets. We would delete the one, then we would turn around and add the other one on. So it's very important that we keep control of what our assets are. So you've got the claims worth roughly $29 million. You've got the capital assets that we have that are about $11 million. And then at the last meeting, there was some conversation about how much comp time has been accrued in our office since the claim person unexpectedly retired, on January 15th. And at the bottom, that lists those, and I'm not going to read to you what it is, but it's the 59 and a half hours that's been accrued. And as you know, in city budgets, except for street department and probably sanitation, there's no overtime. Well, there are police and fire too, but the rest of us do not have overtime in our budget, so we have to do comp time. And that means that, well, you know what comp time means. But anyway, so that is why I feel, and history for the last 40 years has proven that the clerk treasurer's office needs three staff members in there. and that one of those is the claims deputy. Now, I have also shared with you before that my plan is to take the three people in the office and do the cross training so we can continue if something happens and someone happens to not be there, that we've cross-trained well enough to do that. So I will entertain any questions if you have any. And if not, I appreciate your assistance that I kind of break the ground and the waterway, the headwater here, because there may be other offices that follow mine. And in all due respect to the council and those other offices, I'd like to put on paper for your records of why our person is classified as an essential person. And I thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Move on to new business. First up is ordinance 13-2015, petition for change of zoning ordinance maps of Knox County.
We have a first reading of ordinance 13-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 13-2015.
This first
was President Chatton, second was Councilwoman Rose.
Thank you.
Ordinance 13-2015, an ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance, 1, 2, and 3, R2.
And up for discussion.
I'm Katie Cotter. I'm here on behalf of Jay Halter. This is a zoning request on behalf of Halter's Market. They're wanting to expand their greenhouse out into lots 58 and 59, as you can see in the petition. They are also asking for a rezoning of lot 34, which they may begin using for employee and or customer parking. All three of these lots are presently zoned R2, and they're requesting that they be zoned C2. And we have a hearing in front of area plan next week to discuss those.
All the contiguous neighbors have been notified? And
Yes. And yeah, the public hearing will be next week. We haven't received any objections yet, so we don't anticipate any.
Heard area plan. Call for the question if there's no further discussion.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of ordinance 13-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0 and will be referred to area plan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie. Next is ordinance 17-2015, additional appropriation ordinance from Edit Fund for $40,300.
We have first reading of ordinance 17-2015.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 17-2015.
Ordinance 17-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1 and 2, $40,300.
Discussion.
This is for what, Mr. Mayor?
There was some additional funding available for the levy work, and this is just earlier we'd set it up to where the money could already be in that line item, so it didn't come every time it's a bill. With an ordinance, this just puts the additional amount in there to cover the new money that was.
And this will be a public hearing at the next meeting.
Yes.
All right. Call for the question then.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And first reading of Ordinance 17-2015 passes by a vote of 6-0. Next is Ben Roger with Coonrod. Government Budget Planning Report.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, President Chatton, Vice President Brown, before Ben comes up to talk with you, there in front of you, you have 3 years of the cost that Ben Rager and his company, CL Coonrod Incorporated, have invoiced the Clerk Treasurer's office. And I'd like to just point out that the company that Ben works for specializes exclusively in government budgeting and planning. They're kind of like a specialist. I'm sure that there's people in the room, and even your families too, have gone to cities outside of Vincennes for specialists to do things. Also, I'm sure on the internet we've got on there and ordered things that could be classified as something special that we can't exactly get somewhere else. So anyway, that's what they do. And for 36 months, my office has paid them $77,000, let's say $600, and they've actually created for Vincennes $1.7 million. And that's a return. If you were in an investing situation, that's a 2,216% return on your funds. So what I'd like to do is take a moment to thank the council from January 1 of 2012, and working with me and as the fiscal officer for the city, and you are the fiscal body, so we're kind of tied at the hips as far as our office and the work that you do. And I appreciate it that you kind of went on my word when we first started this, because you weren't aware of what Ben's company could do, and we have it on paper now. And I personally feel that there's a good relationship between you, all of you, and Ben, because you can get him anytime that you need him. And also the mayor has been involved in our annual meeting that the council has when they meet with Ben and, about the forecast, and that's what he's going to bring up. And also, I'm sure the news media understands that a forecast is a forecast. It's not 100% guaranteed, but there's a lot of forecasting that goes on in local governments and even the United States government. So it's a tool, and you use it right. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to work with this gentleman behind me, because he does an excellent job for our office. So I'll turn it over to Ben now. Thank you.
Thank you for those kind words. I guess in front of you this evening is a copy of the fiscal plan. What that is that's the document. I guess everybody have that copy of that. This is the fiscal projection. What this does is it tracks revenues and expenditures for several major funds of the city. What it shows is it sees how past performance has been as far as how we've, you know, done as far as revenues and expenditures, and it also projects out into the future, showing revenues based on past trends as well as other data that's available. I guess there's nothing for you to act on this evening, but it's more or less just an update as kind of what's happened in the past. Now, last year there was a lot of discussion with the fiscal projection, and I want to bring to your attention second worksheet, which I passed out. This is a reconciliation of last year's fiscal projection with the current fiscal projection. There was discussion last year with the financial situation where there was projected to be a $1.6 million deficit balance by the end of 2016 in the general fund. But based on actions of you guys, city officials, and based on other data that's been available, we've actually got a net positive of $1.8 million, and now we're showing a positive $200,000 balance by the end of 2016. And in front of you, it's got a breakdown, and you can see I divided it up. One is a change in expected revenues, and you can see that amount, $300,000. What that amount relates to is last year there was delinquent taxes and other taxes that were received other than what was, I guess, projected based on what the state certified, and that's about $300,000 in revenue more than it was expected, which is good news. And then I guess the other half of the change, $1.8 million, is $1.5 million, and those are based on actions which you all took as far as reducing the budget, as far as last year, the March reduction in appropriation, as well as you can see certain things as far as the edit, with the new edit monies coming in, about $300,000 a year. It really helped to change that that deficit into positive. And I want to point out too that with the $300,000 a year is, without the $300,000, we would be showing a deficit balance at the end of 2016. So that's what I want to point out. And it's kind of, now I'm going to go back to the projection itself. Just go to page 3. There's a table of contents on page 2. So you can see all the different funds that are being tracked, and you can see all the different revenue tracked as well, but primarily the general fund is where a lot of the focus is. So go to page 3 if you would. And you'll see, if you go down to the bottom, you'll see a line called ending operating balance general fund. And if you go down to 2016, you'll see that positive 203,220 is what's shown in this projection. So you can see where that positive balance came from. But one thing of note then is too, is still, I guess, with the projection, there still is a deficit in 2017. It's small. It's about $250,000. So there's still work to be done. But that being said, is I want to just give the impact as far as rate cap credits go. For those that aren't aware of that, what happens is when a taxpayer's at the 1%, 2%, 3% property tax caps, the city doesn't collect all the property tax revenue that it should. And when a person's at the 1% tax caps, what happens is the city refunds anything that would have been over that 1%. And if you take that in, so that amount adds up, and it was about $2.5 million in 2015, and it's $2.5 million a year, which is about a quarter of the revenue that the city has annually. So whenever these rate caps came into consideration in 2011, the city had to kind of find out how to make up a $2.5 million deficit that was created by that. So I guess what the point is, whenever you see the deficit in the future, it seems like the city's made a lot of progress, but it was just a lot of work to be done. I mean, at 25%. Yeah, please do. And even if you have anything that comes up later, please feel free to contact me. I really didn't have too much else prepared. It was one of those things that I kind of wanted to give you an update as far as the change from last year to this year as far as the projection goes. And then obviously when it gets closer to budget time, we can kind of look again to see, you know, what's changed, if anything, because like David said earlier, this document changes all the time. As soon as we get new data available from the, or as soon as you make changes, we'll go ahead.
Just glancing at it, we're up to have more time to go through it before we can really probably form detailed questions. But what I guess the most positive trends, and what are some of the most threatening trends going forward?
Well, the positive trend is, I mean, obviously the projection last year showed that negative $1.6 million deficit balance. Really, The annual deficit in 2016 was about $1.2 million. So the positive is in the sense that we're showing a positive balancing under 2016. The tough part is still, is if you look at the annual deficit in kind of the out years, there still is expenditures expected to exceed revenue, so there's still work to be done kind of years. And I guess, for instance, whenever, I'll take 2017, for instance, there's that negative $759,964. And actually, with that edit transfer in money, that's a deficit of $459,000 a year. And eventually, you need your revenues to equal your expenditures, you're going to run out of money. So the annual deficit is something to kind of look at. But I guess on the positive side then too, I guess for the year 2011, it's not shown in here, but expenditures exceeded revenues by nearly $1 million. And at that pace, you would have run out of money sooner, but based on actions you have taken, for instance, whenever you were paying for the PERF, the other funds, and whenever you did the transfers from the edit fund like you did in 2014, that helped keep us positive.
We're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things you hear sometimes is that spend a lot of money. Now, being up here, I know hard the mayor's work, department heads have worked on trimming those budgets and cutting out things that are not frivolous by any means. I mean, they're essential things we need, but we've just had to cut them. Say, get these trend lines better than they were years ago. So appreciate the department heads' sacrifice, I guess you could say. All the city employees. So that we can be more financially viable going forward. I think that's what it's all about.
Just to clarify, so from last year when we got this, this year we made a $1.8 million swing.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes. And as the breakdown, as you can see,
right.
$300,000 with the property taxes, and then with the reductions back in March, and then the.
And I'm going to echo what Dwayne said. The department heads, I have outstanding department heads that are doing their absolute best. They know that at the end of every year they're expected to turn back money. They've trimmed their budgets. They've done everything they can to make sure that we don't end up with negative balance.
Kind of echo what the mayor just said. There is a $1.8 million swing, but 1.5 of that has to do with actions that the city took to kind of reduce that.
Well, on top of that is a congratulations to the mayor, too. What he's talking about is his excellent department heads. They did return $1.2 million back to the general fund at the end of 2014.
I certainly wouldn't want you to name other communities you work for, but I know that you do work in a number of communities. Just anecdotally, when I read the newspapers around the state of what other communities had to do as a result of tax caps, I know we have tightened our belt over and over again. Some of the draconian steps I've seen in other communities seem like we've addressed this
yeah.
a little better.
Yeah, no, you've been proactive about doing that. I've seen, I guess, some communities, what happened is they saw they had cash in the bank whenever the rate cap started, and so the state didn't cut their budget, so they assumed they were fine. Well, eventually, if you don't take into consideration that lost revenue, you're going to run out of money. So based on what I've seen, it's been proactive compared to some other units, which are now just feeling.
Hey, Ben, why is it it looks like in 2016 we're going to have $300,000 less in property tax revenue?
Yeah, that had to be, some of it had to go to the fire fund. That's where it went.
Gotcha.
What happens is it shares, your tax levy gets shared among different funds, and there's a breakdown on page 25, I believe. I'm sorry, it's not 25. Yeah, it's on page 23. I guess what I'm going to point your attention to is the total levies inside the freeze. If you see that $8.19 million number, mm-hmm. that's higher than the 2015 number of $7.99 million. And you'll see the difference is if you go up to the fire fund, you'll see the difference in levy 2015 to 2017. And that has to do with the rate cap, right? It hasn't anything to do with the spending. It's
Well, it's a lot to go over, so I'm sure that there will be some other additional questions, but stick around a few minutes afterwards.
Yeah, I will, and yeah, like I said, I'll be around the rest of this any other time.
Well, I see progress, so what we like to see. Thank you for helping us achieve that.
Okay, next is claims.
I would move we approve claims totaling $1,502,075.61.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to pay the claims in the amount of $1,502,075.61. Discussion?
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And the claims are paid by a vote of 6-0. Nothing under miscellaneous. Just need a motion to adjourn.
I would move we adjourn.
We are adjourned.